Like, Alex Morello, you're Metro Boomin. Get back on the drums, buddy. You don't belong in hockey. What's up, Chicago?
We're back. It's Moves at the Blue Line. We're having a good time. Dane is not going to use quite as much profanity as he did last episode.
It's early.
It's early. We've got some fine Canadian Pilsners sitting next to us. We've got some playoff pictures sitting in front of us. We've got some big news to talk about. It's going to be a fun show. It's going to be a longer show for you. We can already tell. We haven't recorded anything else. But it's feeling like a long show today.
That's such a lie. We've recorded something else. It's literally just it's a bit of banter.
That's inside radio is like pre-show. There's about 25 minutes worth of mic check that gets cut. That's just us talking about whatever. We talked about Lala lineups and how the NFC North has the best jerseys in football.
Yeah.
That was our mic check today.
But mics are always hot. You always got to be ready, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Well, I do have the ability to edit and post. So if I get caught slipping, though.
Thank God for that. We've said some out-of-pocket shit.
We mouth off. But that's enough about this stuff.
that's a one on the counter. We need someone to do the Dane cursing counter. I'm trying to curtail it. I do have
because you're a professional.
And I have a four-month-old niece that does not listen to the show.
Yeah, but if Ainsley ever picks it up, you know, you want her to be able to listen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so Dane's going to clean up his act here. And as he does that, he's going to tell us about how he got to witness one of the best goal scorers in the NHL, one of the most underrated players in the NHL, Phil Forsberg, put up a hattie in the United Center this past Sunday. I was jealous that you were there simply because I'm a big Phil Forsberg fan. I know you had an absurd amount of money riding on Connor Bedard, one goal, two-plus goals, and three-plus goals. So not a great night for you, not a great night for the Hawks, but probably still cool to be there.
It all began that morning when I texted our friend group chat from college.
Spinning a yarn here.
Our radio group chat. And I was like, me and Blake Beauregard. P.S. He went to the game with me. This was his second Hawks game ever. Are going to witness history tonight. And then I decided to post in the group chat my bets. And my bets went as such. $5, Connor Bedard first goal. $5, Connor Bedard anytime goal. $5, Connor Bedard 2-plus goals. It goes all the way up to 3-plus goals here, people. I wasn't out of my mind in like 4-plus goals. Like, that doesn't happen often. But that didn't happen. But that's just the start. That didn't become official until the game was said and done. So much happened in between those lines. So then let me take you to when Blake Beauregard gets to my house.
Oh my God, we're getting the full, like, you are truly telling a tale here.
Yeah, so Blake Beauregard comes to my house. I get off of work, we hop in the car, and we get going. Blake Beauregard's in our fantasy football league, one of my best friends, says, "Hey Dane, might be moving to Colorado." And I'm like, "Okay, heartbroken, let's go watch some hockey." It's Hawaiian shirt giveaway night. And gates open probably like 5:30-ish.
For what, a 7 o'clock game?
It was a 7:30 game.
7:30 game, gates open at 5:30.
We got there at 6. We get in line. I get my tickets out. And we're going. I see the woman holding two Hawaiian shirts. And I go to scan my tickets. And someone just slips in front of us from to the left, like not like cutting, but like just got through the line a little bit quicker, grabs the last two shirts, walk up to the woman and go, can we have a couple shirts? And she's like, all out. The last two shirts right in front of me and Blake Beauregard. As the next day, I'm going to a Jimmy Buffett themed bar crawl. Yeah, laugh it up, buddy. And that's just the start of our night.
So then we get into the actual game.
No, we don't. Then we're hungry. We want a couple Chicago-style glizzies. We go, and we run into the girl that we waved to at the Kraken game. Do you remember that? Not the Kraken. I was wearing a Kraken jersey. The Sharks game. She was in the hundreds and we were in the 300s and waving at her.
Oh, yeah.
My Tinder friend.
Yeah.
And
great use of the word friend there, by the way.
Thank you. Actually, we talked about it afterwards. Every game she was at this year, I was also at. She went to three games. What are the odds? Not very high. So that was already awkward because she like walked up and said hi and I had to introduce Blake. I'm like, hi, this is my friend, Emily. Emily's lovely. She's a great, great hang. And I discussed Blake, our situationship, and it's not a situationship. That's for me to decide.
Jesus.
Then we're like, okay, we want to hammer these glizzies. Let's go grab a bar. Folks, the game hasn't even started yet, and I'm still telling this story. I know it's a long one because the story ends after the first period. But me and Blake are like, let's go get some drinks. And I'm like, you know what I just want right now is a Labatt Blue.
And there's nothing like a fine Canadian Pilsner.
Oh, you're telling me as I'm sipping one right now. Go upstairs to the bar in the 300 levels. Hi, can I get a Labatt Blue? Oh, I'm sorry, we're all out and we're not getting any more for the season. I'm like, well, if you were out today, I wasn't expecting you to get them for another game that I wasn't going to be at anyway. So just vibes are so low. Didn't get a shirt, didn't get a Labatt Blue, ran into someone. And I'm just like, what the fuck? So me and Blake go to another bar and we're like, okay, we just need to get alcohol ASAP. We're walking past one of those like fancier bars that's got hard liquor. And Blake goes, oh, that Captain Morgan punch looks really good. As we're looking at a sticker that's red, that's all that there was that said Captain Morgan. So it's like, it sounds good. We go up to the bartender and we're like, two Captain Morgan rum punches, please. And she's like, coming right up. She goes up to it and pours and goes, oh shit. And we're like, okay, what now? And she goes, I just tapped the keg. So it's bottom of the barrel. And she's like, this is going to be like straight rum. It's going to be straight rum. And we're like, okay, that shouldn't be an issue. Like, we just graduated college last year. Like, this shouldn't affect us. And
that is some unearned hubris.
Yeah. We literally were told by her, though. She was like, yeah, but I gave this to a woman last week. And she came back after the game and complained to my manager that I made it too strong. And she's like, this is a premix thing. I don't control it. So I can top it off with some mixer for you guys. I apologize for how long the story is. We taste it, and I just feel the burn. Like Captain Jack Sparrow enjoying some rum. And I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to be a problem tonight. Take a sip. And I'm like, yeah, can you put a little Sprite in there? Maybe some pineapple juice. She garnishes it up, makes it nice. Me and Blake Beauregard get back to our seats, and we're like, dude, there's probably about 6 or 7 drinks in here. I don't remember the game after the first period. I remember Philip Forsberg on a power play hitting an unreal turnaround snapshot.
The guy's unreal.
Blink my eyes, game's over. Game's over. I sobered up in that period of time as I then found some people from ISU and was like, hey, I'm driving. You want to go to downtown Naperville? We got in the car, went to downtown Naperville, had a great night. That was the game.
So Dane went, spent, you know, his $50 or whatever it cost to get in, didn't get his Hawaiian shirt, didn't get his Labatt Blue, instead got a drink that was 5 sizes too strong, blacked out for the game, and then, out of all things, the worst part of that story by a mile is he ended the night in downtown Naperville.
We had a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad. I hope so. It's no karaoke at Chally's, but alas, hopefully it was a good night.
We actually, the people behind us too were absolutely electric. They're from Ontario, family friends of Michael Amadio, who plays for the Golden Knights, and they were just eating me up because I was just, I was just ripping into the Hawks and just like, this team is such a fucking disappointment. They give me brain aneurysms, heart palpitations, every medical ailment you can possibly have.
I think those brain aneurysms might be from the Conkeys, though.
That too, but overall, me and Blake had a hell of a time. The Blackhawks know how to put on a show. We got a goal from Phil Kuryshev, assisted by Connor Bedard. The team just looked completely outmatched by a playoff team. I think Andrew Brunette probably should win Coach of the Year. We'll get into it later, talking a little awards. But Andrew Brunette, I think, is a great coach, great former Hawk. And getting to be in the presence of a hat trick, I'm not going to say watch a hat trick, but I watched a goal and didn't watch the rest of the game. So, but overall, like, sometimes half the battle of a Blackhawks game is just enjoying being around people. You clap for the anthem, you get drunk as fuck, and you end up somewhere with the people you care about most. And I think that's the beauty of hockey.
And it is. And it, so it sounds like overall a fun game. And the Hawks finished out their season this year. We will talk about everything Blackhawks next week. But it is too big of a news cycle today to get into this garbage team. So instead, we're going to move out west.
I want to apologize, though, too, because, like, that story was probably about 5-6 minutes. And Joey's like, make it quick. And And I'm just like, let me...
Dane, do you want to actually know how long that story was?
10 minutes.
Probably about there, yeah.
Damn.
I'm just going to put that on 3X so you guys can really speed through.
Yeah, I kind of did slow play a lot of things, though, because I just didn't want to miss any key details. But, like, and as I was telling it, I was remembering, like, oh, that went wrong. And it was, it like, the fact that such, like, a horseshit situation ended up being a great night, it's just, it goes to show you how great, like, hockey is, and just, like, the people you go with. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, Dane's love letter to hockey starts with, yeah, so me and Blake Beauregard saw this girl from Tinder that I knew.
Fuck you. So we're up to two.
No, there's been, like, six. All right, moving on. The Arizona Coyotes are no more. Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group has officially purchased the team from Alex Morello, or... We'll get into the complications behind that purchase here. But the Coyotes, as we knew them this year, will be playing their games in Salt Lake City next season. As far as we know, all of the players will remain the same. Jerseys, logos will not. There will be a new team. From what we know right now, it will probably be something along the lines of the Washington football team was before they became the Commanders, where they will exist for a season without having a name and a true logo.
Brutal.
Just so they can take their time and get it right. So it looks like Dane's idea of the Utah Super Soakers did not go through with the Smith Entertainment Group. A lot of mixed reactions around the league, but ultimately this was something that was unanimously voted on by the owners. They are probably happy to have the financial burden off of them, from Morello and the Arizona Coyotes. And now that team, whatever we want to call them now, with the players that are there, can focus on what has become a pretty good young core. They can actually begin to compete.
It sucks that they're on the up and up.
That's like, the worst part of it. That is, without a doubt, the worst part of it is the fact that these Arizona fans waited for 20 years for this team to become competitive. They had one run, and as soon as the team looks like it's gearing up for any sort of sustained success with the farm system that they have and the young draft picks that are starting to, like, realize themselves in the league, the team gets yoinked to Utah.
I'm going to well actually you. I actually think the worst part about it is the loss of employment for certain people in
Arizona. I mean,
the on-ice product, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, okay. And I mean, there are reports are most of the front office is traveling to Utah.
The high-up executives are taken care of? Shocking.
And they still, the Coyotes are keeping, or the organization is keeping a lot of the Coyotes initiatives in Arizona that have already been there. So there's the Kachinas, which is a girls hockey program, is going to stay there. The Tucson Roadrunners are going to continue to be the AHL affiliate of the team in Utah. So the footprint of the Coyotes will still remain. And this is as good a time as any to get into some of the complications. One of the things that has been the most confounding from this is the fact that Alex Morello, who the former owner now of the Arizona Coyotes, the man responsible, or the most responsible for driving this team into the grave, has a 5-year plan. So he just got paid a billion dollars with a B, excuse me, for the Smith Entertainment Group to take this team off of his hands. He has $1 billion now where he can buy a lot, build a stadium, and then the NHL will grant him a new team. He does not have to be reapproved as an owner. They will grant him a team. And I think, and there are certain benchmarks that he has to hit. He has to get land. He has to build an arena. There are things that he has to do to prove that he is a viable owner. But they're making it very easy for a man who I think has proved that he is incapable of running a hockey team the chance to get back into the league in 5 years.
I think the man I'm looking at right now is more capable of running a hockey team than that billionaire. It's straight up.
It is. That is the part that's the most confounding to me.
Because, I'm looking at Joey.
or the Patty Waugh bobblehead in front of you. I'd actually trust Patty Waugh.
We'll
get into him running a hockey team a little bit later.
That motherfucker. Oh my God. Chill out. Sorry.
So, but yeah, it's, Morello has done a terrible job running this organization, and it has become a giant anchor on the rest of the NHL financially. And a lot of the higher end teams are really paying the price. The Rangers, the Leafs, the Canadiens, the Blackhawks are all paying the price to keep the Coyotes in the league. And I think it's absolutely absurd that they would allow, not that they would allow a team back in Arizona. That makes a whole lot of sense. It's a great market. The fans are awesome. But it's like the Oakland A's. You can't expect the fans to come out for a bad product that looks like nobody cares. But to allow the guy who drove it into the ground initially to have dibs on bringing the next team there, I am sure that there are people who are more capable of running a hockey organization who would be chomping at the bit to get that opportunity.
I mean,
like, let Alex Morello take his billion-dollar check and hit the fucking road.
Like, Ryan Reynolds, yo, dude, I know you're a Canadian and you wanted a team in Ottawa. Here's your chance. Like, I know you got skipped over for Michael Andlauer.
Probably the right call. Andlauer is I have been impressed with what Andlauer has done in Ottawa, but that's beside the point.
I'm also impressed, but yeah, they went for the guy that cares. Which at the end of the day, it like, you want to make money. It's a hard line to walk. But to hand the keys back over to this, like, Arizona almost seems like it's too easy. It shouldn't fail. There's no reason. Because of the Arizona Coyotes, you got Austin Matthews. You got Josh Doan, who looks like he's going to be a longtime NHLer. There's plenty of guys. Like, the Tkachuk brothers are both born in, or I think Matthew might be St. Louis, Brady's Arizona. Beside the point, Arizona's a viable hockey market. It should be so easy, and this guy made every misstep, and you're just going to let Ryan Smith bail you out just to make the same mistake over again?
And I don't want to get inflammatory with this comparison, because I don't think it's entirely fair because of how the expansion rules have been restructured in the past couple of years. But you look at a team like the Vegas Golden Knights, who came in a market that is comparable to Phoenix in its geography and in its permanent residence. Obviously, Vegas has the advantage being the entertainment capital of the world, basically, which is why I don't want to make this a direct one-to-one comparison. But the hockey culture in Vegas, with like the actual people who live there, has exploded since this team has been there. And yeah, that's in part due to how successful the team has been on the ice, but they do so many things right off of the ice that the Arizona franchise had every opportunity to do. And they just never cared. They never cared enough to secure a place to play, to treat their fans well, to give their fans a good experience. You're talking about the Hawks game. The Hawks got shelled by the Predators. Philip Forsberg dropped a hat trick on your head, and you said it's like the best fucking night of your life, right? That's not going to happen in Mullet Arena or the Gila River Sports Arena, wherever they were playing before that. They just did not care about the fan experience, about cultivating an environment, and still happened organically. Like, the sport of hockey grew in Arizona despite the best efforts of Morello and the Arizona Coyotes. So why in God's name are you giving him another chance? How does that make any sense for the league? If you're Gary Bettman, I totally understand. That was his big pet project as a commissioner. That is like his headlining thing, is he wants hockey in the desert. Go with somebody else. You have so many guys. Tillman Fertitta is a guy who is begging to get a team to Houston. Tell Fertitta, hey, you can have a team as long as it's in Arizona. He has been begging for years to get a team. That's a guy who wants to be in the league, who's got the pockets to do it. Don't give a team to Alex Morello. He showed you he can't do it.
And he's mean.
He's not a good person.
Yeah. I agree with you in multiple...
I spit a lot at you there, so take it how you will.
You sound like Kendrick Lamar just spitting facts. Like, Alex Morello, you're Metro Boomin. Get back on the drums, buddy. You don't belong in hockey. I agree with a lot of things you said. Though it's tough to compare Vegas and Arizona, like you said, in geography. I think because one thing that I think was so important for the Golden Knights and their success was breaking ground first as the first professional franchise. I don't know the timeline between the Arizona Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, and the Coyotes for who got there first. But
the
I know.
Coyotes were last.
So that was already working against them. Like, Vegas is a hockey city before their football, before their baseball. Like, and they represent that very well. And also they have the backing and the money of the entertainment and stuff behind that.
And that's why I said I didn't want to get inflammatory with the comparison. I didn't want to make it a direct one-to-one. I just was looking at the population and the geography of the places. I understand that social climate is and sports climate is not the same.
But also, like, you know what's funny? In the press conference with Bettman and Morello, like, Bettman basically like told Morello stop talking. He was like, did Morello lose a ton of money with this team? And he's like, you betcha. And it's like, dude, they made $90 million in revenue this year playing in a non-professional arena. Like, shut, like no one cares about whatever money. Like, the team was able to stay afloat because of the fans, which is a big reason that you blamed them for needing to leave. And it's like, you know what, I don't want to hear it. But another thing I don't want to hear is the fact that you think that I couldn't have the best night of my life in Gila Arena with that Captain Morgan run punch with six shots.
That's like, true. You could give Dane the Captain Morgan run punch at a Binghamton Bears game in the FPHL, and Dane would have the best night of his life.
Well, I'd see my boy Colin Fitzgerald.
Oh, Fitzy, yeah.
Yeah, dude, no, Fitzy is a legend. Shout out Fitzy. I'm going to DM him and be like, yo, you got to listen to my pod. we shouted you out. He said Binghamton Bears. Yeah, that was a buzzword for me. But no, I think
I should have gone with somebody else. Danbury hat tricks. There, I'll give you that one.
But they're kind of like, well, they've got like a weird, like, I'm not going to get into
that. The Hat-Tricks have a weird like AAA system too.
It's like an NA3 thing.
Yeah, but then they're also in the Fed. They have two teams. They have the NA3 team and the Fed team.
And they also have that guy that got like banned from the Fed team and called up to the hockey lore. It's great lore. Yeah.
Like I said last episode, don't get me started on the minors.
That's not what you said. But moving on, Joey, everything you said was like well put, and there's no one that's sitting there and going like, oh man, like, I'm so glad the Coyotes moved, which sucks because hockey moving into Utah should have been this celebrated thing. Like, Ryan Smith being like so gung-ho about like, we need a team, this market is ready, they have over 6,000 deposits for season tickets, like, this is good.
Hockey in Utah, and this has been very negative so far, and I do want to reiterate, hockey in Utah is a great thing, and I'm stoked for this team, and I think that it's going to be a great market, and I think it's going to do really, really well. It just sucks that it had to come at the expense
of the Arizona Coyotes.
Exactly.
The Arizona Phoenix, Glendale, Scottsdale Coyotes.
Yeah, it's a bummer, and like, the players are, I understand that there have been players who have been frustrated with the lack of communication from the organization, and like, you have a lot of guys, like, sure, they have a lot of young guys, but then you also have guys who are working for the team and playing on the team who have set up lives in Arizona, and they're going to have to uproot and move to Utah. And it just, and to not have that communication, like, there were owners are saying like, oh, they knew like 2 months ago that this was going down as soon as, you know, like the first bid on the land didn't go through for the Coyotes, that they were going to move and Ryan Smith was going to get the team. But the players basically found out when we did.
I wanna shit on Alex Morello.
Just
on a couple more points. One being, he wasn't in attendance for the last game.
Gutless. So gutless.
And you know what? It's like there's things that come with being a man that you have to take ownership of your fucking faults. And like, you could have made a huge statement by taking responsibility, being like, we failed. Like, us moving is a failure, and like, reassuring the fans, I will be back and I will do this right and I won't screw up again. Like, you had a chance. Like, if you showed up, he didn't show up. And then I think the next thing that was just like, just made me like actually upset, almost emotional, is the fact that Shane Doan's jersey retirement banner was just left behind. And a fan had to grab it and give it to him, which, first of all, shout out that fan. Second of all, though, like, one of my favorite all-time Stanley Cup commercials is about, like, when you're first born, the first thing you're given is a name. And that's all you, like, that's the thing you take with you when you leave, and you're first given when you're born. And that banner has Shane Doan's name, and he earned the respect of that city and should just throw that.
And that is, it's so classless, because not only was Shane Doan a great Phoenix/Arizona Coyote for his whole career, like, he was a one-team guy.
Winnipeg Jets. Same franchise, Winnipeg Jets.
Well, yeah, but
give them the records back.
he stayed with the franchise through thick and a lot of thin, and was a great player for them. He did so much off the ice, and he stayed in the community.
Class act.
And so for ownership to not give a shit about that, it really shows that there was no attachment to this community. And, I mean, like, it just, the whole ownership and management of this team for the last several years has been so Bush League.
Disinterested.
It's been like, I have been, I don't want to keep talking about my minor pro experience. I've been to so many bottom, like, damn near beer league hockey leagues where their owners give more of a goddamn about the team than Alex Morello did. And it just, all of this is to say that the fact that the NHL is going to give him another chance is ludicrous. It is
Luda.
It is insanity.
Like, Linsanity.
That's the whole thing, right? That's, everybody loves to say, Albert Einstein says, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing and expecting a different result.
And my mom.
Absolute insanity to give Alex Morello another shot.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the move. And it's like, Shane Doan is literally not just one of the best ambassadors for hockey in Arizona, just the game of hockey in general. He's really big as a Toronto kid too. So I don't know. It's frustrating. I'm so excited to see what Utah has to offer. With the way the NHL has been going, you'll probably see a draft in Utah in the next 5 years. You'll see a Winter Classic. I thought what they did during COVID for the Winter Classic at Lake Tahoe was poorly executed, but a really cool idea of doing a game on Lake Tahoe. But you know what, Ryan Smith, kudos to you for bailing the NHL. Like, the NHL rarely can get out of its own way, and you literally picked up the slack and you're like, hey, let me lend a hand.
So to conclude, what is your favorite Arizona Coyotes memory?
Oh man, because I've got a, like, what do you mean?
Just like any positive memory you associate with the Coyotes. Like, it could be a jersey you liked, a player you liked, a moment you liked, just like your favorite thing about the Coyotes for the last 20 years.
Oh man.
Just reminiscing.
That's so out of left field. They had Wojciech Wolski for a bit, didn't they? One of the best names in hockey. I mean, there's so much to like about him, though. It's literally the is it Kachina or Kachina?
Kachina.
Kachina jerseys.
Some of the best in the league.
They might be the only one that can go blow for blow, better jersey than the Blackhawks, where I'm like, there's an argument. I'm not a fan of it, but there's an argument.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, dude, they never got to see, like, a real winning team. But that team that went to the Western Conference Finals, when Dustin Penner scored, was it Penner that scored that goal to get the Kings? And it was just like, they were so close.
That team was great. That team was so great. Wayne Gretzky was the coach for a couple years there. Like, not a great coaching tenure, but, man, like, how cool, you know? Cool for the city, an expansion franchise, to get the great one behind the bench.
You know what? It's one of those things where it's like with Atlanta, where it's, I want, like, Atlanta, I think Atlanta might get another kick at the can before the Coyotes do.
God bless it. I just,
brother, I know we've had this conversation before. I think it would work.
Third time's the charm.
Dude, because it wouldn't be The way that expansion is set up now,
it gives, and this, props to the NHL, they don't do a whole lot right, but giving expansion teams a benefit or a leg up during the expansion draft has been monumental.
Well, not just the expansion draft, the actual draft too. Guaranteeing, I think it's a top three pick or top three chance at the first overall pick. So the lowest you could pick is pick four. I mean, could the Kraken have gotten any better off than getting first 2 years? They go Beniers and Wright. It's like, sweet. And then they've got some, they got Jagr Furkus. Bad hockey predisposition.
And even though the Kraken have been kind of a middle of the road team, they're still attracting a lot of people. And they have like Joey Decord has been such a pleasant surprise in net. Like, they're finding guys who can compete.
Well, they went the because the league got smart with how good Vegas did off the draft. They had to kind of go the other direction where it's like, okay, Vegas did kind of like an all in, like, we're going to go for it right away kind of thing, where Seattle's like, no, we're going to take our lumps and kind of build like from the bottom up. And it there's more than one way to skin a cat, but I still think Seattle they're kind of rebuilding correctly. They're doing it the right way. They've got their franchise cornerstones. But I think we've spent enough time on Utah and Arizona, and I think we've gotten it far enough away from the playoffs to where we're going to pick the mood back up because it's the best time of year.
It is the best time of the year. So I thought the best way
It's World Juniors?
Pipe it. I thought the best part, the best way to go about this is Dane and I are going to collab here and fill out our Stanley Cup playoff bracket. We're going to do a moves at the blue line bracket right now. We're going to talk about each game or each series, and we're going to go through and make a decision together. We're going to have some disagreements. Certainly going to have some disagreements, but I think that we can come to some level of agreement on every series.
So this is our collaborative bracket?
This is our collaborative bracket.
I've already submitted my bracket.
Of course.
I was giving. Did you see the look?
No. You can have your personal bracket. I just want to talk your ear off about some of these series. I'll give you the choice, though. You want to start in the East or the West?
Beast Coast. No. West Coast, best. How did I screw it?
West Coast, Beast Coast. Here we go. We'll start in the West for Dane. First series, we talked pretty heavily about the Vegas Golden Knights. They're the wild card two going up against the Dallas Stars. This is going to be a good series for the top seed and the second wild card team.
You mean the top seed and the reigning Stanley Cup champion?
Yeah, I still think that Dallas is going to have the upper hand, but man, Vegas is scary in the playoffs.
Well, and they're getting healthy, too.
Well, they've been healthy for months.
Yeah.
They're like Mark Stone. You can sit on LTIR till the playoffs start, and it doesn't matter.
Yes, what are you thinking?
So I like the Stars here. I think it's going to be 6 or 7 games for sure. But I think Jake Oettinger will turn it on. Like, Jake Oettinger and the Dallas D, I just think, like...
I'm sorry?
Pause. But I just think that, like, there are not a whole lot of teams that can get as grimy as the Golden Knights and get as physical and, like, play that special brand of playoff hockey, but I think the Stars are uniquely built to do that. And their forwards are just insane. They run 3 first lines. We've talked about
it. Yeah, I was about to say... I thought you were about to say they run 3 lines deep. No, they run four lines deep. 3 first lines. Their decor is like the Finnish hitman, dude. It's insane. Yeah. But no, you took the words right out of my mouth. As long as Jamie Benn can keep his sticks out of his opponent's mouth, pause, then Dallas, I think, will be actually okay. And a tough draw for Dallas, tough draw for Vegas to defend. But
great series,
Dallas.
Great series to start off.
I'm gonna have every game on. Whoever's the underdog, I'm going to take them in the spread, because I don't think if there's a game that's more than a 2-goal differential, I'd be very surprised.
Moving on to the second game of the first round here in the West, we've got second in the Central, Winnipeg Jets, third in the Central, Colorado Avalanche. This is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
This is one that could go either way.
I think we're going to say that for a lot of these series.
I'll stop saying it because otherwise I could say it. You're right. Every single time. But for this one, you know, I ride with the Jetties. I love the Jets. It's tough to pick against the Avs, but I mean, it's also very hard to pick against Connor Hellebuck.
Dude, like, I don't think you're wrong. I think the series goes 7.
Yeah. either way it goes, I think it's going to be whoever comes out of this is going to have to fight tooth and nail to get out of the first round.
Well, this whole side of the bracket, the central side, the fact that Vegas has to go to the central side, we'll get to in a bit, makes the Pacific side very, like, very tasty.
Yummy little treat.
Yeah, because I already have my takes. But you know what? I'll defer to you. I'd probably lean Colorado. That's not the hill I'm going to die on.
I think I'm going to go Winnipeg.
I'll defer.
Just because I think they have been a little bit more consistent this year. And I think that you can cover up a lot more mistakes with great goaltending than you can with great forwards.
I agree, but I just feel like everything resets.
Like, you're right, and so this one is, in my opinion, this one's the hardest to pick.
I don't disagree with you.
So,
doctor,
it's a, you know what? Here's what we'll do. This is a true coin flip. I've got a deck of cards here. Dane, I'll let you pick a card. Red, we go with the Avs. Black, we go with the Jets. I fanned him out for him. He's picking the card. Dane, what is it?
Peg City, baby.
We're rocking with Winnipeg. The eight of clubs. Jetties are moving on to round two. But this is going to be an incredibly fun series to watch. And I can't think of a better matchup for either team in the first round.
No.
I think they are so perfectly complementary.
Yeah.
Now to the Pacific side, we've got first in the Pacific, Vancouver Canucks going up against the hottest team in the league right now, the Nashville Predators. This is a fun one too. And this one doesn't have as much tension as the first two we've talked about, but I think we're going to get some wild games in here.
I might disagree with you a little bit. I think Vancouver takes this one. I could see them dropping a couple.
I think this is a six game series ish.
I'd go five or six, but Vancouver, I was looking at some analytics of teams that play well against good teams, and Vancouver was on the higher end. Nashville was on kind of the lower end, where they beat, like, Nashville, like, played tough games against good teams, but beat up on the, like, lesser teams. I just think Vancouver, like, I believe in what Rick Tocchet's got, but I think it's the best coaching matchup of the first round.
Dude, it's the Jack Adams Bowl.
Yeah.
Between Rick Tocchet and Andrew Brunette. Like, 100%. These are the two best coaches in the league this year. One of them is going to win the Jack Adams. We'll get to our awards talk after this, but that's going to be,
yeah,
that is a great,
great jersey matchup.
Great
in my
jersey
opinion.
Matchup too.
We've been missing those in the first round.
Yeah, this is, so we'll give this one to Vancouver. Nashville, thanks for coming out. You've been incredibly entertaining all year.
Playoff hockey, Nashville's electric.
We know that all too well.
Yeah. All too well.
No, we're not. It's Taylor Swift release day.
Who's the most tortured poet in the NHL right now? Okay. Well, I'm in the league, apparently.
Oh, in the NHL. I thought you were going to say.
Is Pierre-Luc Dubois the most tortured poet? Ooh. In the NHL
Pierre-Luc
right
Dubois
now.
Might be the most tortured poet. And speaking of Pierre-Luc Dubois, we get to Edmonton, LA, Pacific 2, Pacific 3 going up against each other in the first round. This is a little bit of deja vu, as we've seen this matchup in the first round many times over the last 5 years.
Taylor Swift to Olivia Rodrigo to give me the Oilers in five.
Easy. And I like the Kings. The Kings are a very fun young team.
No, they're either AARP or not allowed to drink in the United States. It's a very different lineup.
It's like you're playing in a father-son league.
Literally.
So, LA,
Byfield's going to be a special player, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I still am an Alex Turcotte believer.
Oh, you should convert to Scientology then, because that is just wild.
I still think he's got a little something in the tank, but Edmonton does take this rather handily. I think we can all agree. Stuart Skinner, through his ups and downs,
he's been better than Cam Talbot this season.
I was going to say, he has certainly been better than anything the Kings have. And like I said, I said for the Winnipeg Avalanche series, it's easier to make up for bad forward play with great goaltending than it is the other way around. That is not the case for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
I would also say the Oilers have a better decor than Los Angeles. I think through and through, up
the
and down
Oilers
the line,
are just a better team here.
I think the fact that the Kings came back and beat the Blackhawks in the last game of the season, the Oilers had to be like, there were some people tweeting out then when Arvidsson tied it up against the Hawks, like some of the his teammates were like, "What the fuck are you doing, dude?" Like, yeah.
Yeah, so Edmonton licking their chops. Got to select how many, for the bracket challenge, we have to select how many games each series is going to go. Dallas, Vegas.
Seven.
Seven. Winnipeg, Avs.
Seven.
Seven. We'll go six for Nashville. I think they could steal two at home.
Let's go six.
And then Edmonton, gentlemen
sweep. Let's go
sweep. Pure sweep?
Pure sweep.
All right, four games for the Oilers over the Kings. Now to the Beast Coast. We go to the Eastern Conference. And the first up, Electric Factory here. The Battle of Florida. Floridian versus Floridian. The Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Ooh, baby.
I'm so conflicted.
It's a tough one. I think there's an obvious answer, but I'll let you ramble.
Dude, I like what Tampa added at the deadline. I think I like Tampa in the series, to be honest with
That's
you.
That's crazy.
Dude, the Duclair revenge narrative is just too sweet.
You know I love Anthony Duclair, but Florida sun up to sundown is a more talented team now.
I just don't. Dude, Nick Paul might be in the conversation for most underrated.
And he's a playoff performer.
In the words of Elliot Friedman, I don't want to be the fool that bets against the Tampa Bay Lightning.
And that's true. And this is an either way enough for me that I would ride with the Lightning with you if that's where you wanted to go.
I'm also I would go Florida with you, but
I don't think this one's as much of a toss-up as Winnipeg, Colorado.
No, I don't think it is. I think we'll be able to tell in the first couple games.
I agree. I think
the team builds are so similar. I think
it comes down to, is Florida going to be able to continue playing their quote unquote bully ball? Are they going to be able to
give me Tampa? I don't want to bet against their best power play. Oh, but give me Florida because they call less penalties in the playoffs. Give me Florida.
All right. We're locking in Florida. Dane said it. Next up, the Toronto Maple Leafs' worst nightmare. They were slated to play the Panthers until the last couple games of the season. The Boston Bruins dropped to second in the Atlantic. They will host the Toronto Maple Leafs. PTSD for the city of Toronto here.
Post-traumatic stress, Dane.
PTSD. Oh, D. Yeah, you're right.
So I kept deferring to die on the hill. I think the Leafs actually take this.
I would agree with that, actually. Okay. I think that...
Just to get their brains beaten in by Florida the next round.
No, but I do think the Leafs have... Boston is not the same Boston team that we grew up with, that we became accustomed to. They rely heavily on having the best goalie tandem in the league. I think the Maple Leafs have enough shooters, and I think that they've added just enough grit to be able to...
Not get bullied by Boston.
Yeah, you don't want... I think, Ryan Reeves was an absolute non-factor for the Leafs all season. You kept him around for this.
Well, the thing is, too, there's a storyline in this series. And throwing, I'm looking at pure on ice, no, this isn't historical storyline. This is internal team narratives. Who are you starting for both teams? Toronto has the issue of both your starters have been brutal this season between Wall and Samsonov, where Boston is Omark and Swayman have both been, I don't want to say good, not great, but good, not great. Where Omark won a Vezina last season, but Swayman kind of took the helm as the guy. It feels kind of very similar to the Niemi Hue kind of switch off, where it's you go the younger guy with a little bit less tread on his tires. But same narrative, different reasons. And I'm just going to go with the team with less goalie expectations for a guy to get hot versus where if Boston, if like game one, you lose like 6-4 or 6-3, you're like, who do we play in net worth? If Toronto loses game one 6-2, it's like, okay, we'll go to the other shit sipper.
And I agree with you there too, because I think that if you chalk it down to goaltenders, and if both teams trot out the wrong guy on the wrong night, I think Toronto has more capability offensively to make you pay for that.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin Matthews, ridiculous season this year. There's no reason he should slow down.
Nice.
Nice with a 69 goals for the Rocket Richard. And he, I think that offensively, the Maple Leafs are just a little bit too good.
Mm-hmm.
To really be concerned. I do love the narrative that the Leafs can't get out of the first round, but I do not think that applies this year.
Yeah. I think the new narrative is going to be can't get out of the second round.
They're going to struggle for 15 years and then lose like four chips.
How about 16 years?
By the Griswolds?
16.
Great poll there. Thank you. Great poll. Moving on to the Metro, we've got top team there, the New York Rangers, hosting the Alexander Ovechkins, a.k.a. the Washington Capitals. This team, this wild card two spot in the East, we talked about it. Nobody wanted it. It was Detroit. It was Pittsburgh. It was Philadelphia. And then it ends with the Washington Capitals. Thanks for coming out, Washington. Hit the golf course.
Yep.
It's not a whole lot.
Caps and four. could you imagine
that would be crazy. I do not think it's happening.
No, I like Rangers in four.
Yeah, Rangers are gonna take this one with ease. We do get some extra games of Alex Ovechkin, and at this point in his career, that is a blessing. And I love Dylan Strome, but other than that, I don't think the Capitals have a single leg to stand on in that series. The last game of the first round, maybe the most interesting. Or maybe not interesting. I'll say unpredictable.
No, I'm going to... I think...
Let me finish my setup.
No.
Jesus. The Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders. Go ahead.
No. No. That, like... I do this every year where I'm like, oh, like, Carolina plays a certain style of hockey that people don't come in prepared to play, but the Islanders, they're going to come in prepared to play. It's like, well, yeah... just a worse version of what Carolina is going to bring. That might be a four-game sweep too. I know I'm getting a little cheeky here, but like, dude, we're looking at a team that won, that was under 500 versus a team that was well over five. Like,
so on the island, the Patty Waugh difference doesn't move you.
No,
you don't think. I mean, because he has, like, you've seen a clear difference between Semyon Varlamov pre-Waugh and post-Waugh.
You're going to go with Varlamov over Sorokin?
I'm just saying both of them have gotten better, and they've started splitting time more. Like, Sorokin will probably be your everyday in the playoffs, but both goalies have gotten better. Varlamov just more than...
Give me... No, like...
Sorokin.
Give me Carolina. Like,
I'm not going to argue with
Carolina that. At most in five.
All right, we'll go Carolina. They're probably going to run nine defensemen, so they will be all right. Picking games, Florida, the Battle of Florida, I think that goes seven. Six or seven.
I'm going to go six, because I think a team is going to take command and just run away with it.
I think the Leafs probably around six as well.
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
Just making Leaf fans miserable.
Yeah.
Rangers sweep. I think the Islanders can take one.
Yeah, I'll give them five.
Yeah, so...
I got five on it.
I wish I knew more words of that song. Moving on to the second round, we'll stay in the Beast Coast. Florida, Toronto.
Florida.
Little rematch of last year. You think it's going the same way?
Oh, dude. Like, I think whoever gets out of that Florida-Tampa series might just be looking at a... Like, the only reason Tampa... Like, if Tampa had Toronto in the second round last year, Tampa wins that series. But since they got Toronto in the first, like, Toronto came out a little bit hungrier. If Tampa can get through the first round, no one wants Tampa. Absolutely.
And I think that's
no
the
one.
Same with the Panthers as well.
100%. So I'm going to, like, I think Toronto will pull it up. I have a feeling it's going to be, it'll go 2-2. Like, each home team will win. And then, like, Florida will just, they'll take the next two. in convincing fashion.
Yeah, I think the Maple Leafs have geared themselves up in an effort to play Boston, or at least they've geared themselves up well to play Boston, but I don't think they've done quite enough to get past the Panthers.
Yeah, I'll be frank. I looked at the Leafs as a lame duck team for most of the season. It's a coaching issue for me. I don't think Sheldon Keefe is a top 15 coach in the league.
I'd agree with that. I think that there are a lot of things with the Leafs that you can kind of nitpick, just because they've been very good with this core for so long and have failed to take a step further, right? Like, we talk about it every time we talk about the Leafs, where it always seems like there's something missing, and I don't think that Max Domi or Tyler Bertuzzi has changed that. Yeah.
It's not talent. It's simply structure.
You don't think Pontus Holmberg was the missing piece?
Like his game.
He is fun to watch, actually.
Yeah, no, he has no value for his own body.
I did not mean for that to be a stray to Pontus Holmberg. He's very fun to watch.
And Bobby McMahon.
Oh, dude, Bobby McMahon. And the Leafs, I think, are in a good spot, because like Matthew Nyes, Bobby McMahon, I think that the Nick Robertson experiment might be coming to an end soon in Toronto, but that's a topic for another day.
Yep.
So they're going to be good for a while. Not good enough to get past the Panthers, according to Moves at the Blue Line. The other matchup in the East in the second round, New York, Carolina. I think this is an easy one as well.
Yeah?
I do.
Tell me.
I think New York handles the Hurricanes.
No, I completely agree.
I was so nervous.
I was scared you were going to be like, Carolina's going to grow. No.
No.
I think this is the season that Brenda Moore, it's like, okay, buddy, like, what's the missing piece? Like, they went out and they grabbed Jake Guentzel. Like,
has been a great addition for them, but
they don't have that guy. Like, the thing is you look at the Rangers, and they went out and they signed Panarin, which has been, like, honestly, to pay a winger $11 million, the dude has been worth every penny and then some. But then they've also cultivated some young talent, and they've only hit realistically on one of their three young guys. When I evaluate that, I go between Lafreniere, Kako, and Hedl. Hedl got hurt this season.
Dude, and he's so good. But he is trying to come back.
He is trying. Kako looks like a bust, but Lafreniere shows why he went first overall. And not to mention, you have Zibanejad, you have Kreider, who's been there the whole way, Adam Fox. Like,
they are a team that nobody wants. And you have a guy who might have been a little more quiet this year, but you cannot count on Igor Shesterkin to have a bad game.
In the playoffs, no.
Like,
it's going to be indifferent.
He's going to show up.
Yeah.
Like, he is a tremendous goaltender. He reminds me a lot of, like, prime Carey Price, where no matter how the season was, as soon as the games mattered, it was locked.
Yeah.
He was locked in.
That's how I feel about Vasilevsky, too, and Bobrovsky. Oh, that's kind of just...
I don't even want to think about the Florida series anymore.
Well, yeah.
We could spend the whole podcast just going back and forth on who's going to win Tampa, Florida.
Yeah. Where, you know what's funny is how we mentioned that it's like, oh, Winnipeg, Colorado isn't as 50-50 as that one.
Yeah, that one's awful. But we're saying the Rangers take care of Carolina handedly.
Actually, if gun to my head, you can only watch one series. Actually, fuck it. This might be the best first round matchups in the past 10 years, that you're getting Boston, Toronto, battle for Florida, and then just out west you have good Central Division matchups. But it's like, even as being as like a Leafs, like closet Leafs fan, I'm not missing out on the Battle of Florida, though.
No, absolutely not.
Just to watch the Leafs lose to the Bruins in seven, like, I'd just be like...
We'll go now over to the Western Conference, second round, Dallas, Winnipeg. I love the Jets. I think this is where their run ends.
Man, we're on, like, the same wavelength, because...
I mean, we both know puck.
Yeah.
Undisputedly.
You know what would be funny, though, is if you were just baiting me this whole time and you're like, Dane, every pick you made, I faded it.
That actually, we would end
up... We should do two brackets. I think you could do two brackets. We should do...
Do a fade Dane bracket.
You're making these picks too, my guy.
That's fair.
It should be Moves at the Blue Line and anti-Moves at the Blue Line.
That's like, oh, man. I wish this was not the longest episode since the Western Conference preview, because I have a great story about high school, but I'm not going to tell.
Shout out Dane for that 10-minute prologue.
So I think we can just say Dallas takes this. I think at every level of the game, they're better.
Yeah.
Every facet of the game, they're going to be better.
Top end talent is just, which sucks for a small market team like Winnipeg because they just can't afford top end talent like that.
But I mean, a lot of the guys that Dallas has, and this is the special thing about the Stars, so many of those top end guys are homegrown.
True.
Like,
but they can afford to keep them too.
That's true. And they do better than anybody else scouting in Finland.
We'll bring friend of the show Cade Kenyon on to talk a little bit about the Detroit and Dallas connection, but more in depth on that later. Dallas can afford to keep it. Winnipeg has to pay a premium to keep their, like, they had to pay top dollar to keep Scheifele and Hellebuck worth every penny. Scheifele, it's like, at this stage in his career, the last 4 years of that deal might be kind of tough.
I think, though, with all of the turmoil in the last couple seasons on the bench and behind the bench, I think it was worth having Scheifele as a centering presence on that team.
Their coach is Rick Bowness now, right?
Yes.
Rick Bowness revenge series.
And Rick Bowness, very good coach. Don't think he gets it done here for his squad.
Rick Boner against Pete DeBoer.
Rick Boner, Pete DeBoer.
Yeah.
The last second round matchup, Vancouver-Edmonton. This is probably the toughest one to pick in the second round for me.
Who do you like in the Riots better?
Oh, Vancouver does Riots better than anybody.
I'm waiting for the 30 for 30.
That's what I'm saying. This is going to be so tough. Like you said earlier, you quoted Elliot Friedman, you don't want to be the fool who bets against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't want to be the fool who bets against Connor McDavid.
We're on the same page. Give me the...
I think that I would be more hesitant to pick against Vancouver if Thatcher Demko had been a little bit more consistent, or if they would have had just another guy really like world beating aside from Mr. Hughes. It just like, I just don't, pound for pound, I don't see Vancouver winning the series. I don't like, I'm going into,
I think it's going to be a battle. Like, you know what series it's going to remind me of is Sharks Hawks, where in the 2010 Western Conference Finals, the Hawks swept. That series was so much closer than a sweep.
Yeah.
Like every game was like bang, bang, bang. Like you never knew who was going to win the game. It's like, oh, the Hawks just swept the number one seed in the West. So.
I was at game four of that series. Humble brag. But
I wish I didn't know that.
I wish you could see that. That was my first Hawks game ever. There's your fun fact of the day.
You know what? I would be upset, but my first basketball game ever was literally Kawhi on the road to the Toronto championship in Milwaukee against Giannis.
Sweet.
So that's pretty sweet. Cool. So yeah, we've seen some plays.
We've seen some cool stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I think there are tough matchups for Edmonton in this playoffs, and I see a lot of scenarios where they do not win / make it to the Stanley Cup. But I don't think this is one of them.
But they don't get, the thing is that's so boding so well for them is that they're not going to get Dallas, Colorado, or Vegas until the conference finals, which is just like.
And that was what you were saying about the Pacific side of the bracket being very smooth. I think that Edmonton can kind of coast through.
Would you say the stars aligned for Edmonton to go to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, we'll see. We'll stay in the West for the conference final. Edmonton. We have Edmonton going up against the Dallas Stars. And this is tough. This is where it gets tough.
Well, Joey, like, I think I have to pull myself out of, like, the conversation here. Do you remember what my pick was for the Stanley Cup at the beginning of the season?
Were you Edmonton, Florida?
No.
What were you?
Edmonton, New York.
Hmm. So you've got two dogs in this fight. And I believe
why did I not put futures on
and
this
I believe
team?
I picked the Dallas Stars.
Should we do rock, paper, scissors live on Moves at the Blue Line?
Great radio.
Yeah.
I think that Dallas, Edmonton is, and this is so boring, and I apologize in advance for saying this, I think it rides solely on Connor McDavid. I think the Oilers go as he goes in this series.
I think if McDavid doesn't have 30 at a certain point, and like not like 30 for the whole series, but like in this play, for the Oilers to win a Stanley Cup, McDavid has to have the highest point totals in a playoff run since like Gretzky. Like, what's their? It's like 44 points is like the record, right? McDavid has to get like very close to that record. But I also think this is.
But I think something that Edmonton has done better this year than I think than any other. I'll say any other time in Connor McDavid's career, they have provided him a suitable supporting cast, at least in the top six.
Well, they've got Zach Hyman's dad's money. They can't lose.
That's true. They've got Zach Hyman's inside connections. And I mean, Zach Hyman, call him a tap-in merchant. The guy had 50 Genos this season.
Yeah.
Like, crazy, crazy season from Zach Hyman. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins remains one of the most underrated players in the league year in, year out.
I think he's an Oiler merchant.
I think he's a benefactor
of being on the Oilers.
But there are
a solid guy, though.
There are a lot of guys they have made. Their decor is still not like knock your socks off good, but it's better than it has been.
It's the definition of a 7.5 out of 10 decor.
Yeah, and that.
But when your offense is 9.6 out of 10, and your goaltending
crazy to not go 9.7 there. Missed.
I don't believe in it.
That's
I don't believe in matching jersey numbers like that. Get that number out of your contract, buddy.
So this is I truly do believe that this series comes down to Connor McDavid and how he's able to play because of how good Dallas is defensively and in net. I think that if there's any team in the entire league that is going to shut down inarguably the best player, it's going to be Dallas.
I love the Henrique ad too for Edmonton.
Oh, he's just a gamer. Oh,
you know
dude.
What?
That's just a gamer.
That's the narrative for me, is like the Henrique was what gets him over the hump. I need Edmonton. Are you going Edmonton or Dallas?
I mean,
you know what? Can I say for the sake of my bracket, because I want to be different, take Dallas.
No. We don't have to be different. This is how we both feel.
Well, I feel Edmonton.
And I think.
Then fucking take Dallas. Like, why are you so?
Because it's hard. It's. Do I think that the Oilers' top offensive talent, it has enough to outlast the staunch defensive abilities of Dallas?
Is Dominic Cahoon still on the Oilers?
Is Slater Cuckoo still on the Oilers?
Good pull.
Thank you.
Is Brendan Morrow still on the Stars?
Ooh. We'll go Edmonton.
Okay.
So Edmonton makes
it. Is Steve Ott still on the Stars?
Ooh, good pull, Steve Ott.
Is he done coaching the Blues?
God, we hope. Oilers, Stanley Cup final, according to the Moves of the Blue Line, the last conference final game. Florida, New York, Atlantic 1, Metro 1, facing off in the Eastern Conference final.
I think just for the hell of the travel, give me Florida. Like, that would be so miserable.
That's a brutal travel schedule. But I don't think you're wrong. I think that...
Well, I actually, in my bracket, I stuck with my beginning of the year. But I'm not... I think Florida's a fine pick here.
I think that I wouldn't put it past Florida to make it to back-to-back. I think they have the toughness necessary. I think they have the heart necessary. The Rangers are a hell of a team, but I think stacked up head-to-head, I don't see the Rangers being able to take the Panthers.
I don't know. That, for me, it's a coin flip. If it was those two teams, I'd be like, that's one that I'm just sitting back, kicking up the feet, eating some popcorn, and just loving hockey.
Yeah, I agree.
I love playoff hockey.
So go Panthers?
Go with the cats.
With the meow.
Get a soundboard, buddy.
I know. I need a stinger so bad. And now it's time to select our Moves at the Blue Line Stanley Cup champion. The Stanley Cup Finals, according to us, here, your most reliable hockey source, Edmonton and Florida, the Oilers and the Panthers. Who's it going to be?
Dude. If Connor gets there,
there's no way he loses.
I think you would literally need to take his dead corpse off the ice to not leave with his name on the cup.
I'm right there with you.
The cup's going back to Canada.
Congratulations, Canada.
Nate Kazari's listening to this going, Rakakow! Right now, like, he's literally going to send me a video of this part of the podcast, like, making some crazy audible noise.
And the tiebreaker question, predict the total number of goals scored in the Stanley Cup Final Series. It feels somewhere, I'd say it's going to be like a easily six, if not seven gamer. I'd say you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 35-ish goals.
So I put 31 for mine.
But the Oilers are due every playoff series for one just absolute barn burner. Like,
dude, I would borderline go like, I'd go like 39.
Yeah, I'll lock it in. Do you remember the...
There's a seven. If those two teams play, there's a 7-5 game.
Like, do you remember the Calgary-Edmonton game in the first round a couple years ago? It was like 8-6 or something.
I stayed up for that game.
I was at a bar watching that game. It was me.
I forget you're older than me.
It was me and Emma and then like a bunch of her teacher friends. And like none of them were watching the game. They were all like hanging out. And I felt so bad because this was like Emma's first year teaching. So this was like my first time getting to like meet all of her friends. And I was a bad boyfriend this night. You could not pull me away from the TV.
It doesn't help. It's the battle for Alberta.
It's the battle for Alberta. What do you want me to do?
It was probably the same season that Zach Cassian is incensed. Like, oh my God. God, I love hockey. God, I love hockey.
It's a wonderful sport. It's a wonderful game. We love it here. That's why we talk about it. Anything else you want to add quick about the playoffs? Any last thoughts?
We sleep in June?
Yeah.
No. July? No.
Post-draft. We'll sleep. Yeah, we'll sleep in July post-draft.
It's lottery season, baby.
Yeah, it is.
Get your tickets out.
We're crackling for Macklin.
No, I'm not going to say it.
You were going to say we're creamy for Celebrini.
You took the words right out of my pasta.
Yeah, remember that kid's 18, Dane. You're walking a fine, fine line.
I'm pretty sure he's like 17, but...
Wow. Wow.
Well, I wouldn't want to mess around with you in the minors, so...
Ain't that the truth? And on that note, we are going to leave. Thank you for sticking around for an extra long edition of Moves at the Blue Line. We appreciate you. If you know somebody who likes hockey, who loves puck, who just loves a couple of babbling idiots, show them the pod. We appreciate all the love. We will be back to talk some playoff puck. We are more than excited to watch it. And you know what? Dane, I'll let you sign off for yourself today.
For Moves at the Blue Line, I'm Dane.
He's Dane. I'm Joey. Thank you.
You son of a bitch.
He's Dane. I'm Joey. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm Dane. He's Joey. I'm Joey. He's Dane.
We'll see you next week. It's been a while. I've been out on my own. I get a little anxious when you call me on the phone. Somebody said that it fades away. But in the intro, it was hard to see that way. It's been a while. I've been out on my own. I'm in denial about living life alone. I said I don't like change, but I'm not afraid. I can't keep it together. I've been running away. And when every page is in disarray, I think we'll be okay. Okay,
shut up!